The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 26, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on May 7, 1989, in Cincinnati, United States.
Janmaiswarya Sruta Sribhir Edamana Matapuman Naivar Hatyabidutam Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. My Lord, Your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth, an education, and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences. And this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Krishna, O Govinda. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the holy name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, and attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. We would like to thank all of you for coming tonight to our humble temple of Cincinnati. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are prayers being offered by one of the great famous saints in the history of the world. Her name is Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti was born in great wealth and opulence. It is a long story, which is described in the longest poem ever written in the history of mankind. It is called the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata is composed of over 100,000 verses. And in this great epic, it is described how Queen Kunti, although born in the luxurious opulence of the kingdom of the greatest kings in the world, she was never attached to that wealth. but she was always attached to the humble service of the Supreme Lord. As she grew up, she was very fortunate, and she was married to the man who became the emperor of the whole earth, Maharaj Pandu. And in that condition also, she was never thinking herself very fortunate due to her material riches, but rather she was feeling herself very fortunate that she always had the humble service of the Lord and his devotees. Of course, we know in this world, no arrangements we make are certain. There is a saying, the only two things that are certain in this world are death and the holy name of God. Other than that, there is nothing certain. Man proposes, God disposes. We can make wonderful plans, but to our surprise, sometimes they do not work out as we plan. In fact, usually, they do not work out as we plan. This world is filled with many, many plan makers. On every level of life, they are planning security, shelter, and happiness. But the nature of the world that we live is that from one moment to the next, we cannot guarantee, and no one can guarantee for us, that our plans will be as we expect. So although Queen Kunti was the queen of the earth, her husband died unexpectedly, and her greedy and envious relatives, by very unfair means, stole the whole kingdom away. And her five children, Pandavas, were left to live in the forest. Absolutely no money, without a home, with only one set of clothing, not even a bed to sleep on. In this way, the Pandavas lived in the forest for 14 years, simply eating the roots and the fruits from the trees and the ground, and hiding for their lives. There were thousands of people hunting to kill them at all times. And then there was a great war. It was the Battle of Kurukshetra, the greatest war ever fought on earth. And by the will of God, the Pandavas were victorious. And again, they were coronated as the kings of earth. And Kunti, when she was living in the forest, she was feeling very fortunate. Why? Because she always had the humble service of the Lord. And when she was made into the queen of the earth again, she was feeling very fortunate. Not because she was the queen living in a big palace, but because she had the humble service of the Lord. So you see, through all the calamities, all the changes, all the ups and downs, she was never disturbed. Because she was finding her peace, she was finding her happiness, and calling out to God with great feeling. And here, Queen Kunti, who was through it all, she was through every kind of life, every type of tragedy, and every type of glamour that we could imagine. She was well experienced in this world, and she is giving us her transcendental conclusion. She is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While she is queen in her great opulence, that my dear Lord, you are only available for those who are materially exhausted. Those who think they're having fun in this world are in the most suffering condition, according to Queen Kunti. You see, a devotee of God sees things very opposite as a materialistic person. A devotee of the Lord understands that real happiness is in what is permanent. And a materialist feels that real happiness is in that pleasure which ends in pain and suffering. Bhagavad Gita says, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dhuka jona evate, atyanta vanta konte nate shuramate evata. That an unintelligent person takes part in the sources of misery which are born of contact with the senses and their objects. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so a wise man does not delight in them. The sign of intelligence, according to God, is to discriminate between what is permanent, what is eternal, and what is temporary, and only to seek pleasure in that which is eternal, in whatever condition of life. Therefore, while an ordinary man is very fond of seeing someone who is very affluent in this world and enjoying tremendous prosperity and intoxicated by that prosperity, a person who has spiritual intelligence, he feels sorry for that man more than anyone else. He pities such a person more than he pities a person that's suffering. Why? Because at least a person that's suffering knows he's suffering. But a person who thinks he's enjoying or she's enjoying, that person is in the grandest illusion and soon will find what is the truth. The truth is, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, that due to the temporary nature of everything in this world, ultimately every person attached to the senses must suffer. So Queen Kunti, she is describing here that one who is too much intoxicated and proud of material enjoyment and material position in society, such a person is disqualified from spiritual life. Spiritual life is meant to utilize our human birth for the purpose of quality, not quantity. Animal civilization is better for quantity than human life. After all, there are elephants that live 200 years old. There are tortoises that live 200-300 years old. There are parrots that live 200-300 years old. There are trees that live thousands of years. Human life is not meant simply for long periods of duration. Human life is not meant for wealth or for fame or for high education. These things may be useful. That is not the purpose. Human life is meant simply for one thing: to learn how to call out God's name sincerely. That's all. Because if you can once cry out God's name sincerely, then you will attain the perfection of pure spiritual consciousness and attain that state beyond the temporary existence that we live. You can attain that state by which eternal peace, eternal happiness, complete knowledge becomes our very nature. So one may, especially in this American society, one may think that this is very horrible philosophy. After all, does that mean we have to just give up everything we have, give it away, go to the forest and cry out for God? Huh? For some people, that's a good idea. But it is not required. What is required is simply a little bit of common sense. What is that common sense? Who is the proprietor of whatever we have? We are proud of our education, of our learned mind. We are proud of our wealth. We are proud of our beauty. We are proud of our good birth. But are these things actually ours? Do they belong to us? Proprietorship means control. It's like this building. We do not own this building. We are leasing this building. So it so happened that our landlord decided to sell it to someone else. So we only have a certain amount of time and we have to get out. Now what if we say we're not going? Then the police will come and help us in our moving. Because it does not belong to us. But if it belonged to us, no one could kick us out. No one had the right to tell us to leave. So, whatever we have in this world is not within our control to continue to have. in due course of time, time itself takes everything away. Time is the all-devouring, all-powerful influence of this world, and there's no one that can escape it. Your body is taken away by time. Your intelligence is taken away by time. Your beauty is taken away by time. Your wealth, your fame, your family, whatever you can do, it is all taken away by time. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I am time. That time is the manifestation of God in this world. And through time, God is controlling everything. Therefore, God, or Krishna, is the proprietor of everything that exists. This is simple common sense. Therefore, to simply understand that, in whatever situation we are in, we will never become intoxicated by the illusion that anything is mine. Dhanasya moho yamaham mameti. This is the basic principle of all suffering. That we are thinking that we are this body, and that whatever is in relation to this body is mine. This is called false ego. But spiritual life is very simple. All one has to do is understand that I am not this body. I am the eternal soul, and I am part of God. And what is mine? Only one thing, the right to serve the Lord. That is spiritual life. That is religion. It is not so difficult to understand. Unfortunately, today, in the name of religion, there are tens and thousands of highly philosophical books written. There are grand, grand lectures being given, many places, many times, every day. But practically no one is understanding these most simple, elementary, fundamental principles of knowledge. You do not have to be a big scholar. You do not have to be wealthy. At the same time, you do not have to be illiterate or poor. In whatever condition of life you are in, all you need to do is understand this, that I am part of God, and the only thing that is really mine is the right to serve Him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is an example of a great king. His name was Prataparudra. He had more wealth than we can imagine. The king, especially the olden days, he was the proprietor of the entire kingdom. He had complete control. So this king, although he was so powerful, he had huge armies, great wealth, he was adored and loved by all of his citizens. When his spiritual master explained to him that Lord Chaitanya, who was living in his kingdom, was an incarnation of the Supreme God, Sri Krishna, King Prataparudra was thinking that to attain his blessings, his mercy, is the most important thing in my life. So that king, when the Jagannath festival took place, at that time, the beautiful deity of the Lord, Jagannath, he is put on a beautiful chariot. And he is pulled from the Jagannath temple to the Gundicha temple. So King Prataparudra, he was thinking that although I am the supreme controller of my whole kingdom, before God, I am the most menial servant. So that same king, he took a broom in his hand and put on the clothes of a street sweeper, which at that time is considered the lowest of all occupations. Only a very low-class peasant will sweep the streets for his maintenance. But the king wanted to show that in whatever position you are in society, before God, never be proud. Never think you are anything or anyone. Know that you are the most menial street sweeper. So he began to sweep these streets. One may think, oh, he was simply trying to become famous by taking a humble position. That is another type of pride. But he was not like this. He was sincerely, the core of his heart, wanting to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by showing him that, my dear Lord, I am nothing but your most menial, insignificant servant. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king taking that position, although the king tried in so many ways to attain the blessings of the Lord, it wasn't until then that the Lord decided to give him his complete blessing of pure love of God, pure knowledge of God. So you see, it is not that King Prataparudra remained a street sweeper. He ruled the whole kingdom. He ruled his armies. He taxed the citizens. He made decisions that influenced everyone's lives. He lived in a royal palace. He had thousands and thousands of servants. But in his heart, he was always feeling himself the humble, menial street sweeper of the Lord. He felt that whatever my service is in this world, it is only as humble service to the Lord. And this is a very important thing. It is not that we have to give up our position, but we have to give up our pride. That is what Krishna consciousness means. It is not a change of any physical situation in life, but it is a change of heart. Because after all, we have seen sometimes people give up worldly opulence to take to the renounced order of life in a particular religion because it gives them more power and more recognition and bigger pride. In the Chaitanya Leela, the story of Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen had many children, he had family, he had job. And there was also Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was a big government head, and he gave up everything to live in the jungles with the tigers and the lions and the snakes. Cold winters, burning hot summers, sitting exposed to the monsoon rains. When Lord Chaitanya was asked, he said that as far as he was concerned, there was no difference between Shivananda Sen, who was living in his comfortable home with his family, and Sanatana Goswami, who was living in the jungles of Vrindavan. There was no difference. Now, to the eyes, it appears there's great difference. Because, you see, the Lord sees our heart. He does not see our physical circumstances. Sanatana Goswami was perfect because he was accepting that humble position in order to demonstrate to the world how one can sacrifice everything and live a very, very simple, hard life, always thinking of Krishna. And Shivananda Sen, he was carrying on his job and maintaining his family, but he was thinking, my family belongs to God, my home belongs to Krishna, everything is Krishna's. So therefore, let me maintain and protect what belongs to Krishna and always remember him. So as far as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was concerned, because they were both performing their particular duties in that consciousness without attachment to pride, they were both perfect. They were both equal. There's also a story that our Guru Maharaj would sometimes cite about how, living in a village, there was one prostitute. And somehow or other, the family she was born in, she had to maintain her relatives and everything else. And this was the only way she could make her money. Now, living right across the street was one very high priest, a Brahmin. And he was a very famous lecturer. He would give sermons throughout the day. And his favorite example in his sermons was how degraded and sinful this prostitute was. He would announce very boldly and loudly for everyone to hear and see that this prostitute was a sinful, wretched woman who will go to hell. And she would just go on with her business. So by the way of destiny, they both happen to die at the exact same time. So the agents of God and the agents of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, they both came to the scene at the same time. So the Vishnu Dutas, the agents of God, they came into the house of the prostitute. And the Yamadutas, the agents of death, they came into the house of the priest. So the priest laughed. He said, "I'm sorry, but you're mixed up. You're supposed to go there, and they're supposed to come here. After all, I'm a very religious, famous man, and she's a prostitute, sinful woman." The superintendents of death checked their address. They said, no, this is the correct house. He said, no, how is this possible? They had their chains and ropes around his soul. And he looked over, and across the street, the prostitute, her soul was on a beautiful silver palanquin. What is this? They explained to him that although externally you are living very nicely in this world as a very religious and pious man, in your heart you are very envious and proud. And this prostitute, although she appears very sinful, in her heart she was always praying to God that, "I am so fallen, I am so degraded, I am so useless, my Lord, only your mercy can save me." But you were just thinking how you're better than this person, you're better than that person, you happen to be better than everybody. Huh? But you see, God does not see from the outside. God sees from within the heart. He knows the heart of every living being. He is seated in the heart of every living being. So, we should not live a life and have this surprise before us. Of course, most of us are not living very holy lives as it is, to be proud of. But even to be proud of being saintly, what to speak of being proud of being wealthy or beautiful or very educated, any type of pride that we call our own is the greatest impediment for God consciousness. Therefore, Queen Kunti is praying, "My dear Lord, the real opulence in life, the real wealth of life, the greatest fortune, is to simply cry out your name with sincere feeling, in any condition, whether you are a king or a street sweeper. Whatever condition of life, know that to arrange your life in such a way that you can learn to cry out the name of God sincerely, there is nothing greater to be had in this world." Of course, the great misfortune is that even when the Lord Himself comes into our life and tries to help us to come to this desperate condition by putting us in difficult conditions of life, we do not recognize that it is His mercy. That is very unfortunate. You see, when one comes to God, one should know that the Lord will deal with His devotee according to the way He feels that devotee needs to be dealt with. And it is not always the way we like to be dealt with. Because Krishna is the father of every living being. Which parent always deals with the child the way the child likes to be dealt with. Only a useless parent, right? Child doesn't want to go to school. Does a parent say, "Oh, then you'll be happy, don't go to school"? A child wants to go and play in the streets. The parent says, "Oh, then you go play in the streets." That is not a good parent. A good parent, out of love, provides the child with what is needed for his welfare. So similarly, when one turns to God, when one approaches a bona fide spiritual master, a great spiritual personality who is acting on behalf of God in this world, one should know that the Lord within his heart reciprocates by taking control over that person's life. And whatever situation that person is in,
If you recognize that this is Krishna's love, then you will never forget him. But if you simply try to figure everything out with your mind, why is this happening to me? I don't want this. I want that instead. Then you will simply become bewildered. And you will forget all about Krishna. And that is the greatest misfortune. So therefore, in all conditions of life, we should remember that to sincerely call out the name of God is the goal, the supreme goal. Queen Kunti is here stressing that we should cry out the name of God with sincere feeling. The holy name of God is none different than God. And the condition of our consciousness in which we call out his name is how he will reciprocate with us in our life. It is very simple. Is there any questions?
Well, that is not even our right. That is only the product of God's undeserved mercy.
But that is the only thing that is never taken away from us. Everything else, by the laws of time, is taken away from us. The right to serve the Lord is never, ever taken away from us. We may neglect it, we may reject it, but it is still there. That choice is always ours, eternally. So therefore, it is really the only property we have, is the right to serve the Lord.
Is that something that is a gift from God?
Yes, it is the most precious gift of God.
And it's something that Krishna never will take from us.
He will never take it. But we can reject it. But even when we reject it, it's still ours as soon as we ask for it. Even if we reject it for millions and millions of births, it's still there, waiting for us at all times, in all places. And if we identify that that's all we have, is that right to be the humble servant of the Lord, that is the perfection of life. Yes? First of all, this shows how the Lord never betrays his devotee. Ajamil was a great devotee when he was young. He was very sincere, always serving his guru, very humble. But somehow or other, due to past conditionings, came in contact with a prostitute who was very low and very wicked woman. He became enamored and he completely rejected all of his pious life and all of his religious principles. And in order to satisfy her insatiable demands in life, he had to become a cheater, a thief, a violent man in all sense. He became very wicked. But the Lord in the heart, seeing that essentially he was sincere, wanted to give him a chance. So the Lord, from within the heart, prompted him to name his son Narayan, which is a name of the Supreme Lord. And knowing that his youngest son he would be very attached to. So in his old age, when he was on his deathbed, his greatest attachment, his son, was sitting just close to him on the bed. And he cried out the name Narayan. And at that time, the agents of death were ready to take him away. And the messengers of God came and said, no, you cannot take him, because he chanted the name of God. Because his last breath was the name of God, all of his previous sins are nullified. Because he chanted the name of God not with any material expectations, but he chanted the name of God helplessly, even though he was calling for his son. Still, the name of God is none different than God. But you see, because he did not chant purely, he was not entitled to go back to the spiritual world. But he was given another chance. And his life duration was given more time. But because he witnessed exactly what took place, he understood what a fool he had been and how he had wasted his valuable time. But he was given some more years to live, so he immediately went to a holy place, and there he lived a very pure and saintly life, cultivating God consciousness, constantly chanting God's name. And in that condition, he learned how to chant purely. And then when he left this world, he went back to the Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Is there any other questions? Yes. This means you cannot be the judge of another man, but you can honestly and sincerely judge yourself. If you are engaging in sinful activities and thinking, well, I'm a devotee of God, everything's all right, then you are a cheater. Huh? Just like in the Bible it is said that it is faith that attracts God, not works. So many people use this argument that we can do whatever we want as long as we have faith. But it is also said that faith without works is dead. If you actually have faith, then you will utilize every bit of your ability and your energy to live according to the will of God. It is also said in the Bible, the one who calls out, Lord, Lord, but does not do the will of God, he will not enter the kingdom of God. And it is considered the seventh offense to the holy name, to chant the holy name and continue engaging in sinful activities, thinking that the holy name will nullify your sins and you can continue with your sins. So therefore, one must very honestly and sincerely accept the guidance of the saintly persons and live a spiritual life free from sin. But the principle we're trying to bring out in this discussion tonight is that in any condition, we have to give up our pride. Even if we are perfectly following all the religious rules and regulations externally, if we become proud of that, we become contaminated. Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariyupasate. This means that for my devotee who surrenders to me, I preserve what he has and carry what he lacks. But if you are not surrendering everything within your power, God will not carry anything or preserve anything. You're on your own. Any other questions? Yes?
Didn't give him his blessing until he was in dress of a street sweeper. Was it because he set a good example or because he wasn't humble enough until then?
The king was perfectly humble at all times. He was a completely sinless, humble devotee of the Lord at all times. But to show the world the humility of the king and the humility required to approach God, he gave him his blessings at that time.
Humble acts like giving up your, your wealth or whatever is not great.
That you do not know. That is why we need a spiritual master. He knows what is required. If the spiritual master asks us to give up our kingdom to be a street sweeper, then to do that is humility. But if he tells us to give up our street sweeper dress and become king, then that would be humility. Prabhupada used to say that if you are living in a palace and God wants you to live under a tree, then to be attached to the palace is material. It is bondage. But if you're living under a tree and the guru wants you to live in a palace, then you should not be attached to your tree. Huh? We should simply be attached to the humble service of the Lord. I remember when I first came to New Vrindavan, I was living in India before, very simple life, sleeping on river banks, eating a few chapatis like that. And when I came to New Vrindavan in 1972, I was thinking that this is so much full of sense gratification, this place. Well, I thought devotees were living a disgustingly worldly life, because compared to the standard that we were living, It was. I mean, we never slept inside, always outside, under trees and rivers, winter, summer. And they were sleeping in houses. To me, that was disgusting. And every night they would drink milk. I was thinking, God, such luxury. And they would eat popcorn. I was thinking, my God, this is so worldly. So I went to the leader of Vrindavan, and I told him that I'm leaving this place. And he said, why are you leaving? I said, because this place is too much sense gratification to make any spiritual advancement. And he said, guess what he said? He said, you're the first person that's ever said that. He said, how can you say there's too much sense gratification here? So I just explained, eating popcorn, drinking milk, sleeping indoors. This is not the way a holy man lives. It's not the way somebody lives who's after God. This is the way the materialists live. So then he said, Prabhupada told us, if you're living under a tree and you're asked to go into a house, you cannot be attached to the tree. And if you're living in a palace and you're told to live under a tree, you're not supposed to be attached to the palace. He said, your maya, your illusion, is you are attached to a tree. But to be honest with you, my friends, to this day, he still says I'm attached to that tree. But what to do? So without a spiritual master, a saintly, pure-visioned person instructing us, we really do not know what is humility and what is false humility. Huh? Real humility means to do the will of God, whatever that may be. And how do we know the will of God? Through one who knows. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.